The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 13, the first 5 verses. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. This has been a tragic week. After 2 funerals 10 days ago, I was hoping that the message could lighten up a little bit. I've had to be so serious because the issues are so serious. And then this week, we still don't know today how many people died this past week from the tragedies that happened. Bombs, a fertilizer plant, an entire town blown up, flooding from north to south. The earthquake. People even died in the flooding. And there was plenty of bad news before this last week. A truly nasty new bird flu is emerging. It's sickened 63 people. It's killed 14. Do I need to review for all of us what is bothering us today? We have sorrow. We have grief. We have fear. We have anxiety. The images alone from these tragedies create a physical reaction in our bodies. Our God has designed us that way. But what do you do? And what do you do when you can't do anything? And what do you say? What can be said that might be helpful? How can Jesus' people say something that might be caring or instructive? We turn to Jesus' words. And here in the 13th chapter of Luke's Gospel. And we may not know the exact circumstances that Jesus is referring to, but we get the point. The situations Jesus is referring to, the people Jesus is referring to, people suffered, people died. People suffered at the hands of a nasty person in power, and people suffered a disaster. People suffered. The people to whom Jesus is talking have made some statements, maybe made some judgments, theological judgments. Don't want to put you off with that word, but when we look at what Jesus says, Jesus often asks questions. It's more probable that Jesus is speaking to those who have made some judgment calls about the people who died and the people who suffered. The people to whom Jesus spoke were thinking and saying things that Pharisees may have said. They may have said that those people died, those people suffered because they were sinners, really bad sinners. The people to whom Jesus spoke were thinking and saying things that even Christians have said. And we know Christians have said these kinds of things, because some Christians, even some Christian leaders in our own time, have said them. They may have said these people died, these people suffered, because they were sinners, really bad sinners. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, no. Jesus said, no, they weren't any worse sinners than the rest. Jesus is saying, and we must all remember this, no matter what some television pastors might say, Jesus said, this isn't about sin. Friends, if you don't get anything else today, get this. Jesus said, this isn't about sin. Let me rephrase what Jesus said, and you tell me if it's correct or not. I'm going to rephrase what Jesus said in the light of the things that happened in this country this last week. You tell me if it's correct or not. Do you think that these Bostonians were worse sinners than all the other Bostonians because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. Do you think that these Texans were worse sinners than all the other Texans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. Do you think that these Midwesterners were worse sinners than all the other Midwesterners because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. Is that what Jesus said or not? The question Jesus is given is this: did these people who suffered bring this upon themselves? Jesus said that in this case, no. Jesus knew, others knew, Pilate was a nasty man. Pilate was going to be a nasty man no matter what anyone else did. Pilate would eventually take Jesus out. In a different instance, a tower fell down, killed some people. These things happen. Jesus said it isn't about people and sin. Friends, sin does not make people victims. The people who suffered in Boston, the people who suffered in Texas were victims, but sin didn't make them victims. I've told you before that wonderful teaching moment I had, and I was given as a father to young children. My children watched me lock up the church after worship every Sunday. One day, one of them asked, "Dad, why do you lock up the church?" They wanted to know why the church had to be locked. And I said, "I lock up the church because I've read the Bible." It's true. Read it. Read the Bible. God creates a perfect world on pages 1 and 2 of the Bible. Perfect world. On page 3, the humans have disobeyed God and they are hiding from Him. On page 4 of the Bible is the first recorded murder. Well, that didn't take long, did it? From perfect world to murder in 4 pages. A friend of mine wondered out loud to me yesterday concerning all that has happened in this past week. Makes you wonder what's really going on. My response? Situation normal on planet Earth. Situation normal. And we don't learn even from page 4 of the Bible, Cain killed Abel. Was Abel a worse sinner than Cain? No. Abel was a victim, but Abel's sin didn't make Abel a victim. Sin does not make us victims. But Jesus didn't want to miss a teachable moment like the one I had with my children that Sunday morning years ago. Jesus had people's attention, so Jesus was going to teach, and Jesus said, "But," verse 5, "but." But unless you repent, you too will all perish. You see, friends, that's the other side of that truth. Sin does not make us victims, but sin has consequences. I don't know how many times I've had people in my office who talk about trying to do what God wants them to do, and things are not turning out right for them. What many of these people are discovering is this: although the Lord does forgive them, the Lord has forgiven them, sin has consequences, and often you cannot escape those consequences. You may have turned over a new leaf, but sin has consequences. When faced with suffering, when faced with life and death, especially at funerals, this is how I say it at funerals: those who follow Jesus believe that God has given us souls, spirits. Life does not have to end when we die. God's word talks about life, and it talks about death, and it talks about life and death as a part of life, but the Bible also speaks about life beyond death. And our spirits may continue to live if we can trust in God. We may trust God in life, we may trust God in death. Jesus only asks that we continue to trust Him, have faith in Him. We must continue to depend on the Heavenly Father, who knows life and death. For Jesus also died, and the Heavenly Father raised Him up from the dead. That's what we celebrate at Easter. God knows what this life is all about. Gave us an instruction book. We call it the Bible, God's Word. And in it we learn we are bodies and souls, and then we can live with God. And that's what God had in mind when God started this whole thing. That we'd be able to live with God forever. Our Lord has given Himself to deal with sin. The Heavenly Father gave His own Son, His only Son, to deal with sin in this world. And so the only question is, what are you going to do with that? Are you going to trust the Lord with your life and have the Lord deal with sin in your life? Verse 5, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. Now I would like to close today's message with some things to say. Words you can offer others who have questions in their minds about what has happened in this country this past week. I suppose the most popular thing Christians like to say is that God is still in charge, or everything happens for a reason. Those are theologically acceptable. To me, they are not always helpful. And I'm a pastor, I want to be helpful. I think it's helpful to say, trust God with your life. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 14. Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Believe in God, believe also in me. Let not your hearts be troubled. Some versions say, have faith. Or trust in God. Trust also in me. There's a popular Christian song that I'm enjoying now. I believe it came out last year. The title of the song is Not for a Moment by Meredith Andrews. I'd like to share some of the lyrics of this song. I find them helpful. Speaking of God, the song says, you were reaching through the storm and walking on the water, even when I could not see. In the middle of it all, when I thought you were 1,000 miles away, not for a moment did you forsake me. The chorus says, and after all, you are constant. After all, you are only good. After all, you are sovereign. Not for a moment will you forsake me. Verse 2 says, you were singing in the dark and whispering your promise, even when I could not hear. I was held in your arms, carried for 1,000 miles to show, not for a moment did you forsake me. And every step, every breath, you are there, every tear, every cry, every prayer. In my hurt, at my worst, when my world falls down, not for a moment will you forsake me. Even in the dark, even when it's hard, you will never leave. I think you will find almost every phrase of that song is found in Scripture. One last thing, if I can get it out without being emotional. God's Word promises that at the end of everything, God Himself will wipe away every tear from our eyes. God Himself will do it. Amen.